thank you, Lord, for the gift of the scriptures. As we reflect on the Bible, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, courageous in our response. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in the power of prayer. Praying at all times and in all places has been part of my daily life for almost 30 years, as it has no doubt for many of you, and probably longer. In September, I enjoyed a holiday retreat in Italy entitled Attention to God, Patterns of Prayer Through the Eyes of Benedict and Francis. Attention to God. Patterns of prayer. When I saw that advert, plus the added attraction of it being held in Umbria, in the valley near Assisi, that spoke to me and I went. So prayer, as they say, is in my DNA. The meditation on prayer in this week's partnership news was read during a time of worship that we joined in a monastery at the foothills of Assisi. I found it most profoundly moving and inspirational, and I hope you may too. A few weeks ago, I believe Sam said that you don't have to be in a particular place or take a particular position to pray, a sentiment I heartily agree with. Although over the years I have benefited from being introduced to a variety of styles of prayer, such as silent prayer, contemplative prayer, and more recently, mindfulness prayer. These styles of prayer usually do require a place of quiet and a comfortable and relaxed positioning of the body. But all this practice and experience does not mean I fully understand prayer and how it works or doesn't. It's one of those mysteries of faith we have to live with and trust in. If for no other reason that Jesus believed in prayer, he taught others about prayer. At all times and in all places, he prayed frequently. And he gave us his special prayer, Our Father. Perhaps the most memorable and the one that enables me to continue praying, even in the most desperate of times, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he faced imminent arrest, torture, and death. He prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. The secret to Jesus' prayer, but perhaps one that we're not so ready to pray, is your, yet not my will, but yours be done. Yet we say it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before we explore this aspect of prayer, perhaps it's time to pause and ask ourselves what we understand prayer to be. Often it's a request, asking God for something, or to intervene in some situation. This is not surprising, as it's what Jesus practiced and what he taught. His Garden of Gethsemane prayer is an example of this. Jesus asking God, his Father, to spare him from a cruel, horrific death. Even though Jesus knew this was the moment he had come to earth for, even though it was inevitable, in his humanity, he pleaded in prayer that it would not be so. So in its simplest form, prayer is talking to God, our Father in heaven. A description of prayer I heard many years ago, which speaks to me, is practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. Now, this may be the most relevant in any form of silent prayer. Then we have prayers that are offered during our services, which are called intercessions. The word intercede literally means go between. In these prayers, we act as go-betweens, channels of petitions to God for those in need. We ask God to be present in them. Through prayer, we endeavour to align ourselves to God, to his ways, to his desires, the same understanding, the same feelings of compassion. It has been said that prayer is not a technique that can be taught. It erupts in people who live life to the full. Another type of prayer which can be helpful is an arrow prayer. A prayer that is offered in haste for a particular urgent need or situation. I find these particularly useful when listening to hospital patients who are very distressed or difficult to understand, making me feel out of my depth and puzzled as how to respond. Typically, I will ask the Holy Spirit to give me the right response. These are just a few examples of how we might understand prayer. The reading from Luke today presents us with another aspect of prayer. How far do we persist in it? About a month ago, I gasped as I read the readings set for today. At the time, I was full of thanks for a positive answer to prayer after years of praying for a particular situation, whilst also feeling very sad and, if I'm honest, angry with God for my persistent prayers for another situation which was yet not answered as I hoped. The parable of the persistent widow seems to indicate that persistent prayer is eventually answered in the way the prayer hopes. No mention of thy will be done in this parable. The widow, when being a widow would have been very difficult, kept bothering the judge to grant her justice against her adversary. She was persistent in pestering the judge to intervene, to find in her favour, which he eventually did. We don't know how long she had persisted, but long enough for the judge to have had enough. Jesus told this story to his disciples to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Even though the judge in this story is nothing like God. He doesn't fear God nor care for people. So in the story, if he is like that and we equate him to God, how much more will our God of justice respond to our prayers? And in the same way as the judge, God will bring justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night. Within Paul's letter to Timothy set for today, I found the answer to my sadness about prayers, seemingly as yet unanswered, in verse 14 of chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The message seemed to me that because of many prayers, as yet not answered as I hoped, do not reject prayer as a means of grace. Hang on to what you have believed and trusted in for many years. Persist in prayer. Do not give up. God knows what is best for us and those for whom we pray. I'm in no doubt that most of us here will have experienced or will in the future times when we have despaired at the prospect of prayer not answered as we hoped. But where there is prayer, there is hope. At these times, a simple prayer repeated over and over again, which we often pray in the service of Holy Communion, can bring peace of mind. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. While steeling ourselves, as Jesus did, to end with, Thy will be done. Amen.